So this morning we want to turn in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 13, and I want to share with you a passage. I don't hear a lot about this passage, although it's very relevant, and I don't know in my years of ministry that I've ever really taught or even preached in this passage, but there's a lot there, and we've titled the message, Set Free, Set Free. And so in Luke chapter 13, we want to begin reading with verse 10. And I want us to kind of notice what is taking place. We're going to read through verse 17. And there's a lot of things that could be brought out in this passage. There's a lot of things that could be exposed or expounded upon. But I want to kind of centralize our thinking of someone that is set free, although there's a lot of other things that's taking place in this passage. But let's begin reading with verse 10 of Luke chapter 13. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore come and he healed and not the Sabbath. So in other words, he was more concerned about what Jesus was doing and the fact that he was working instead of really realizing who Jesus was. And the Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you, Lord, for the music this morning and all those that participated. We thank you for them. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us this morning. May we look into thy word. May we find help this morning. And, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, we pray that they will be set free through the blood of Jesus. We also pray for those that are carrying different burdens and different problems and different things that they carry every day. Lord, I pray that you'll deliver them as well, that they'll be set free. And Father, for those that are watching, that will be watching, we pray for them. And we do lift up the request of prayer that were mentioned. Father, I pray that you'll help me this morning. Get glory to your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Set free. This morning we have a passage that we read to you just a few moments ago about a lady that had a spirit of infirmity. And this passage shows us that she was completely set free. For 18 years, she was known, or she knew nothing but misery. She knew nothing but defeat, sadness, frustration. For 18 years, she was in this condition. Day after day. Week after week, year after year, every time she opened up her eyes, she dealt with this problem. Every time she closed her eyes, she went to sleep with this problem. She was faced with this problem for so many sleepless nights, I'm sure. This issue was on her mind constantly, never really finding any relief. And can you imagine how she must have felt when Jesus set her free? For 18 years, she dealt with this problem. No doubt when Jesus delivered her, she was a new person. No doubt when Jesus delivered her, she had a new life. The things that she constantly thought about, the preparation that she dealt with to have this problem, and how that she had to, I'm sure others had to help her, and I'm sure that there was some accommodations that she was having to deal with, and constantly thinking ahead, how can I get this done, and how can I get that done, and how can I overcome this, and just the simple things that we might take for granted every day that she was not able to do because of this condition. Can you imagine when Jesus changed her life, she didn't have to worry about it anymore. She didn't have to worry about the what ifs and the possibilities and all those things. And we can try in many different ways, and we can think in many different ways, and we can try to find relief when we're dealing with our problems, when we're dealing with our setbacks, when we're dealing with our infirmities, sadnesses, and so on, and we too go to bed with them and we wake up with them. But Jesus said the words, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." This woman had the issue. But there are many folks today that is carrying maybe not the same kind of issue, maybe not the same kind of physical condition, but there are folks today that are dealing with things in their lives and the conditions of their lives. And it may not be the same as far as a physical condition, but they're carrying burdens that they just can't let go. Carrying problems that have them bound and the need for being set free is great. There are things that can bind a person. And the things that can bind a person can defeat, can frustrate, can cause misery, can simply not let go, can cause anger. I was talking to someone recently. It was a lady that I was talking to, and she was talking about some things in her past. And she was talking about some poor decisions that she has made. And she's living with those decisions today. And she's trying to get over them, and she's trying different things. She's trying to deal with this and trying to make a decision, and just simply, she was just kind of letting loose some of the frustrations that she was talking to me about. And one thing that stood out to me, and that is this. She said, "I guess in reality, I just can't forgive myself. I just can't forgive myself for the decisions and the path that I've taken in life." And this is one individual that I was talking to, but I believe that if you really start thinking and you really start meditating and you really start looking out, there's so many other people that's dealing with the same thing. There's so many other people that is dealing with problems or bad decisions and not necessarily salvation. But I'm talking about they're dealing with these infirmities and they're dealing with these things that literally have them bound up to where there's no joy, there's no relief. Yet there's many that is bound in sin. But either way, it's carrying problems that they can do nothing about. as carrying situations that they can do nothing about themselves. Things like sin, things like jealousy, things like pride, things like selfishness, things like doubt, things like fear, things like worry, things like bitterness, things like anger, things like sadness, and the list could go on and on. Reliving it every day. Never really getting a release from what it is that is burdening hearts. Reliving it every night. No relief. No relief. Just like this woman. But I can encourage you this morning that Jesus can set you free. Whatever it is in your life that you're dealing with, whatever struggle it is in your life that you're dealing with, Jesus can set you free. He can break through the long-standing habits that set you free. This passage tells us that He absolutely can, without a doubt, make a difference in your life. But here's the thing. And it's kind of strange that I'm saying this, but I'll try to expound upon that. Do you want to be set free? Because sometimes we carry things, and it's almost like we wouldn't know what to do if we wasn't carrying them. And we carry things and we carry burdens because we've carried them so long that we don't know what it would be without them. I'll give you an example. I used to have and this is kind of a medical thing, but I used to have a knot right here on my wrist. And every once in a while it would just kind of be an annoyance for me. And I would kind of, when you have something, you just kind of pick at it. And I would just kind of roll this knot around. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor said that it was a cyst. And he called it, if I get this right, it was something close to a ganglion cyst. And he said, I could draw it out. It's fluid. I could draw it out, but it's probably going to come back. And then he began to tell me, this is known as a Bible knot. Anybody heard that term? So there's one back there. We're right here, Carol. But it's known as a Bible knot. And back in the day, back many years ago, people would take the heaviest book in their house, which was a Bible, and they would hold it out, and someone would take the Bible and they would hit it really hard. And it would actually break it loose on the inside. And it would go away. Sometimes it would return and sometimes it wouldn't. Well, when it come to this knot that was on my wrist, I was actually working on a car one day or a truck or something I was working, and I had turned my wrist just right, and all of a sudden I felt this warm sensation running down my arm, and I thought I had cut myself. And I pulled my arm out and I wasn't bleeding, but my knot was gone. And I'll be honest with you, there was a few days that I missed my knot. I didn't have anything but to play with. But the point being, sometimes we don't know what it would be like to let go of whatever it is that's troubling you because you've carried it for so long. You've carried it for just like this girl that I was talking to, this lady. She said, I have a hard time forgiving myself. So let's look at this passage just for a few moments this morning. And let us see, even though we're talking about a physical condition, but let's see if we can apply it to our own lives and see maybe if we can find help from the Lord this morning. Let's look at the desperate condition of this woman. She was literally, based on her condition, you would almost say that she was deformed in some way. And with that condition, you would consider her as being someone that's defeated. And we have this idea, society has this idea, that if you're different, you're not as because you're different, you're not as important as others. And so I'm sure even back then there was that same problem. So she felt defeated. Well, with defeat comes depression. And so I'm sure that she, for 18 years, that she was depressed. And after depressed, or after being depressed and continuing with depression, she was in despair. But there was something that we need to note about this, and that is this. The Bible says that she was the daughter of Abraham. The Bible also says that she was in the synagogue, because it says he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, which is verse 10. And it goes on to say, and behold, there was a woman which had the spirit of infirmity. And then it goes on to talk about her condition that she had had at 18 years. So she was in the synagogue. Let's put it in today's language, and that is this. She was in church, yet bound with her need. That kind of tells me that there are people that come to church faithfully that are bound with a problem in their life, or a situation in their life, or an infirmity in their life, that they're there, but yet they still have the problem. They're still in that condition. Now I will say, that is the place to be for Jesus to do a work, because she was at the right place. She was at that right place. So she was there, but little did she know what was getting ready to happen in her life. So she was deformed. She was in the synagogue. She was in church. And she had a condition. She had a spirit of infirmity. But this spirit in infirmity, there's something that I want to add to this. And it's actually found in verse 16 as Jesus is rebuking the one that criticized him for healing on the Sabbath. And that is that. And that is this in verse 16. It says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound. So that tells me that she was in her condition because of Satan. And many times we carry these burdens, and many times we carry these problems and these things that are hindering us in life, and who is directly behind them is Satan. Satan is behind a lot of misery in people. Just like this lady that I was talking to saying that she couldn't forgive herself. Well, that's one of Satan's lies. That's one of Satan's lies. Satan has lied to you before, saying that you can't forgive, or that you can't do this, or that you can't do that, and there's no way, and that you can't ever find any relief. And Satan was behind that, just like Satan was behind this condition of this woman for 18 years. And when Satan is a part of something, and we can understand this morning that Satan is the author of confusion, and Jesus is truth. So who do we want to follow this morning? Jesus, which is truth, or Satan, which is confusion? Our minds many times get confused with our thinking because of a condition, or because of a problem, or because of something that's hindering us in our life, and we become confused. Well, that's what Satan wants. Satan don't want us to have any joy. There was no true joy in her life. How could there be joy in her life when she was dealing with this infirmity, always carrying this with her for 18 years? For 18 years, she was carrying this. For 18 years, she got up thinking about it. For 18 years, she went to bed thinking about it. And all the hours in between, for 18 years, she had this infirmity with no true joy. And there are folks that's walking around that have no true joy. Satan and his influences had a grip on her. And Satan and his influences, in many ways, have a grip on people today, robbing them of their joy. I go back to verse 11 where it says that she carried this for 18 years. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. I've mentioned this recently and I'll mention it again today, and that is this. For 18 years, where does time go? Where does time go? That we carry things day in and day out. And then before you know it, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, before you know it, we'll be talking about 2026 and then 2027. Where does time go? You know, misery that carries itself knows no time. Misery that carries itself knows no time. A prisoner because of Satan. A prisoner because of that influence. A prisoner that she was carrying around for 18 years, and she was bowed up almost like she couldn't move. And so with that condition, there's no joy, there's no peace, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no light. If you've ever been in a cave before, maybe at a cavern, and they ever cut the lights out on you, it's pure darkness. And your eyes is looking for some kind of light. But yet, and this happened to us before, we were in Livel caverns and they turned out the lights, and it was pure darkness. And I found myself looking for some kind of light. Well, when we are... They eventually cut it back on because we couldn't have got out. And we didn't have phones like we do now. That's kind of dating us, but we didn't have phones that if we were in that kind of light and somebody flipped off the light switch and you were in pure darkness, I bet most of us would be reaching for our phone because it's got a light on it. The point is, with no light at the end of the tunnel, it's misery. Such sadness in the picture of her and this lady as we look at this passage. But it's also sadness in people's lives today because they're in darkness. They're in that misery. I'll be the first to tell you, and I think she would too if she was standing here this morning, she was powerless. And there's nothing that we can do ourselves to try to get us out of this condition. We can, you know, I didn't even mention it this year because very seldom do we ever live up to it, but there's no New Year's resolution saying I'm not going to carry this burden anymore. There's no I'm going to turn over a new leaf because, and you know, and there might be moments that we think, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore, but then all of a sudden our mind drifts back. And that's because we're truly not delivered. We're truly not giving it to the Lord. Because we seem to try to carry it back. So she was powerless. She couldn't lift herself up, the Bible says. And I'll repeat it. She was in church. She was in church. So that means that she desired something different for her life. She desired something different. She desired that encouragement. She desired, but little did she know. And number two, the power of Jesus. Little did she know the power of Jesus. How did things change for this woman? How did things change? You know, I think we're all guilty, and I know that I'm guilty. I'll be reading through the Bible, and I'll just kind of skim it. Maybe I'll be reading, through the day or something. And I really don't stop sometimes, and maybe we're all guilty of that, but I really don't stop sometimes to see what happened in someone's life. When we read a passage such as this, when we really stop and we think, oh yeah, Jesus healed, Jesus is wonderful, Jesus is great, which He is, He's all those things, He's powerful, He's all those things. But if you really zero in on this, you can really see the power in Jesus. You can really see. And so how did this life change for this woman? Well, I'll give you three things in the power of Jesus. And one is for her to be delivered, for her to find help, she needed to be in the presence of Jesus. She needed to be in the presence of Jesus. Because Jesus said to the woman in verse 12, when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him. Now, we don't know how she got to Him. We don't know if she tried to walk herself. We don't know if there was anybody that was helping her. But that's kind of really irrelevant to how she came to Him. But the important thing was that she listened to Jesus. She listened to Him. There's where we find hope, is we listen to Jesus. How many times growing up did your parents tell you something, or maybe a spouse tells you something, or maybe even a person tells you something, and they're telling you something, and then you say, what'd you say? You were hearing, but you weren't listening. You were hearing, but you weren't listening. You see, she had to listen to Jesus for a difference to be made in her life. She had to listen. You see, there's hope in Jesus. There's power in Jesus. She was in the presence of Jesus, but she had to listen to Him. And I wonder sometimes, and I'll raise my hand for this, but I wonder sometimes if that's the reason sometimes that we carry the burdens with us, is because we don't listen. We don't listen. My parents used to tell me all the time, listen to me. Listen to me. And sometimes I would be guilty if I would hear them, and I knew my parents well enough, especially my mother. I knew that when she called me in for supper and I was outside, kids back then played outside, but I knew that I had three calls. I knew she called me the first time, especially if I was in the middle of a ball game and playing kickball or wiffle ball or football or something with my neighbors. I knew that she would call me and she would say, it's time for supper. And I knew it was almost like I was dealing with a 30-second clock. I knew the first time that she called me that I still had a little bit of time. And then she called the second time. And so if I was going to do anything, if I was playing a game, if I was going to do anything, I had to do it right then. And then when that third time came, you better come running. Well, you know, when it comes to listening to Jesus, I encourage you that if He's speaking to you, listen the first time. Great things will happen. Great things will happen in your life if you listen. She listened. And she got to Jesus. But not only did she listen to Him in His presence, but she also listened to His Word. You see, that's the hope that we have. How do we know who Jesus is? We have the Word of God. How do we know Jesus will help us? Because the Bible tells us so. How do we find help? How do we find comfort? Why do we read Scripture when we're dealing with maybe the loss of a loved one? You know, we can talk all day about that person who's passed on. We can talk all day about how good they were and the influence they were and all those things. But the important thing is that we find our hope and we find our comfort and we find our help from the Word of God. So she was listening to him, but not only was she in his presence, but she was also listening to him in the Word of God. You see, that's where we find our help. That's how we combat Satan, because Satan plays with your mind and he'll say, no, you can't do this, or no, you, this ain't going to happen. Or when you first got saved, he would say something like, well, you're not truly saved. Well, we ourselves say, well, yes, I am. And then he would say, no, you're not. And then when you bring the Word of God saying, yes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and you confront him with that, he has nothing else to say, because we have the Word of God. So she was finding her peace because of Jesus and his Word. There's power in the Word. We find hope in the Word. And the Lord gave her complete deliverance. And verse 13 says, and he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was straight and glorified God. And I'm one that believes what the Bible says, and I don't believe that she kind of stretched herself out, and then all of a sudden that she's like, oh, I'm healed. I believe that when he touched her, she straightened right up. And it was just like she never had that problem. And that's what Jesus can do. Jesus can make a difference in your life. She received complete deliverance. And I think it's notable for us to consider this. The Bible says that she was made straight. That's because Jesus changed her life. And Jesus can straighten that thinking and that Satan influence. Jesus can straighten a person's life if we allow him. But I will say this morning that it's only Jesus that can do that. It's only Jesus. I can't do it. You can't do it. A neighbor can't do it. Thank the Lord for counselors, but counselors can't do it. Only Jesus can straighten a life. And what she did after is what we should be doing every day, and that is glorifying God. Glorifying God. A bound life can never truly glorify God. So if we're carrying something day in and day out, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year, if we're truly carrying something that's hindering us, I don't believe that we can ever truly glorify God the way that he needs to be glorified. She glorified God because she was set free. And that's why we glorify him. Because he sets us free. Does something have you bound this morning in any way? Is there something that you've been carrying? Is there something that you would be lost if you wasn't carrying it? Only you and the Lord know. But I encourage you this morning that you can find help if we come to him, and he will set you free. Just like he did this lady, he would set you free. And then we glorify God. Let's pray this morning. Our Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And we look into this lady's life that we don't even know. But it's not her life that we need to see. But it's the power of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, the Word of Jesus, the help in Jesus, the delivery in Jesus, the set free in Jesus, and the glorifying of Jesus. That's what we need to see. So Father, if you've spoken to someone's heart this morning that needs to be set free of anything, I pray that they'll come. If there's someone this morning that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to that heart and cause them to realize they need to be saved. But maybe there's a Christian here that's carrying something. Lord, you know, I don't know. But I pray if they want to find true help, that they'll come in your presence. Lord, bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. What